Welcome everyone to the FGNA Zoom Cafe Mentoring Series. Welcome everyone. And today our wonderful teacher is Marina Gilman. I'm very happy that she agreed to do this presentation today for the series. And I'd like to introduce her. So Marina Gilman is a graduate from the Montreal training in 1996. She has a MM in voice and a master in communication disorders, and she's a Guild certified Feldenkrais practitioner. And let's see here. She's taught voice at Cornell and Syracuse universities and the theater school at DePaul University, Chicago. Marina is a licensed speech pathologist who has worked at major medical voice centers in Chicago and was part of the interdisciplinary team at the Emory Voice Center in Atlanta, Georgia. She's maintained a private practice in voice, primarily singing and Feldenkrais. She's published in medical and voice journals on the relationship between body posture from the Feldenkrais perspective and voice. She is the author of Body and Voice, Somatic Reeducation by Plural Publishing. Thank you so much, Marina, and I will hand the baton to you so you can lead this presentation. We are going to also have a Q&A period at the end.
Great. So thank you all. I mean, I'm really excited that everybody is here, and I decided that I would just spend a little bit of time. The voice world is an interesting world, and it is transformed like everything else has been transformed. And especially when you're teaching classes, that the whole world with, you know, either with Zoom or with masking, that the way we project, the way we look at our, you know, think about our voice, and it's brought new challenges. And there are people complaining, especially if you're teaching a lot or Zooming a lot with people, then it's really a matter of what to do. And I know that within my own family, when you get on screen, you know, you're talking at a slightly, you know, trying to send your voice to Thailand or Boston, which is what happens in my house. And so I'm constantly telling my husband, please shut up, don't yell so much. And it gets wearing after a while because it's so easy. And then if you're wearing a mask, the mask attenuates. So if you're teaching classes, and you've got, you know, a live room, but right now in this environment, most of us are wearing masks, or most, you know, are mandated or not. And masks will attenuate the sound. That means it dampens it so that the people listening to it are also being handicapped because they can't hear as well. And like it or not, the demographic of many of our students is 50 plus, which means there is an inherent, you know, auditory deficit going on in those people. And so if you're lying on the floor trying to be in yourself, you've got this face mask on that's diminishing the sound, then it becomes easier to want to yell and push your voice a little bit, like I'm beginning to do with myself. And so we tend to talk louder. We tend to talk sometimes faster. When you're wearing a mask, the mask, depending on the fabric, will actually attenuate or dampen the high frequency sounds, which is the fricatives, the F's and S's and T's and things. And so that makes comprehension much more difficult. And especially when people who are, when you're what vis-a-vis, then you also, this part of the face is blocked and all you can see is the eyes, and the eyes often are not very expressive because we were never trained to be expressive with our eyes. Now, when you're, you know, teaching an ATM class and everybody's on the floor, they're not watching you anyway, but still it's very important to learn to optimize and to work well with, you know, with your voice and use it appropriately given all of the constraints. The other thing with, you know, especially with Zoom, is that we're sitting in our chair, and if you're sitting there and it's kind of late in the day and you start kind of shrinking in, and then you start having this kind of a voice and you wonder kind of what's going on. Rather than, so posture plays a role, and it doesn't mean you have to stand up straight or sit up straight with a straight back, which we all know is not what you want, but it's a matter of really finding that internal organization that will really allow the voice to work well and efficiently. the other thing that we're combating in the Zoom world is having a bad microphone. And so people who do Zoom a lot, especially singing teachers, acting coaches, and even just people who do a lot of professional meetings, are also, you know, fussing around with the internal, external mics. You know, does it work? Which one's better? What's the auditory system all about? And that plays a role. Now, that's something I'm not going to talk about because I don't understand a lot of the I'm not a techno geek in that way. But I thought that it would be important for all of us as a community to basically take some time to learn to play with our voices so that we can begin to be more efficient in this challenged world that we live in. So, you know, what I want to do today is really just to go and explore the variations on equalizing the nostrils lesson, which is one of the genius lessons that Moshe developed. And I've used it for 25 years, but also to address any issues that people might have right now as they're struggling to reestablish or establish or keep going on their private practice or their ATM. So I'd like to take a few minutes to open it up to any comments that people have, any concerns that you have, anything that, you know, drew you into today's session that thought that this might be something that you want to do. Oh, and of course my phone is going off. So,
are there any questions or comments around personal struggles around teaching or speaking behind a mask?
Anybody have any thoughts, any concerns?
I have a question. Hi, my name is Marion. Jarena, I'm concerned about, I get hoarse. I have hoarseness. And my voice is really clear right now. But I think as the time goes on, if I'm talking more and more and more, that hoarseness will start to develop, and I can feel it already starting, and I know it affects the quality of my voice. So that's a concern for me. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Anybody else?
I just wanted to mention, Marina, that I have also found it challenging, but speaking or teaching behind a mask. And so I look forward to hearing what your suggestions might be. I do have some clients that are hearing impaired, or, you know, they've got hearing aids, but still they struggle with me talking to them behind my very well sealed mask.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially the hard of hearing, because they're so visually dependent on lip reading and all of these these subtle cues with our face and our expression, that it becomes really, really difficult to make that community, that whole layer of communication is gone. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is appropriate for today's focused on online teaching. I have a very close friend who many of you know, who tells me that my voice drops off at the end of sentences. Mm-hmm. And it's a habit that Julie's been pointing out to me for many years. So I don't know if that's within today's purview, but just put it out there.
Good. I mean, but prosody is. And so if it's a lifelong habit of dropping off at the end of the sentence, and then you sort of start, again. And these things change with age, and they usually don't get better, right, as we mature. And then there are issues of age-related changes that happen with the voice. Some of them have pathological basis, but a lot of it is just we're getting old and creaky. And yeah, so our vocal cords get, old and creaky too. And so it's important to be, cognizant of it. And then the question is, how do I mitigate it?
Right.
So it's very relevant. Yeah.
Okay. For me, it's not so much age related. Apparently, I've done it for the last 40 years. I don't think I've been old that long, but
you're still not old, Paul.
Well, I won't. I'm not 72 anymore. For me, it's just at the very end, and it has more to do with my teaching ATM than when I'm lecturing or responding to questions. So it just, it has to do with rhythm and softness and mm-hmm. atmospheric creation, but it's still not good.
Okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind. Good. And Faraya, when you said you started having roughness and hoarseness when you're teaching, what do you have any sense of what is going on and when in the lesson? Any more detail about that?
I don't have problems with that. I'm having more when I have a mask on, mm-hmm. how to help people hear me better behind the mask. So okay. vibration, tone might be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn has her hand up. Dawn, did you want to unmute yourself?
Thank you.
And then Anna.
I'm not sure if this is relevant either, but I have a couple of clients. I work with children. Part of my practice is working with children. And I'm also a reading specialist. And I have a couple of clients that are very monotone and their fluctuation in their voice and even their stature. I can see that it's impacting a lot. And so I'm very interested in that whole connection between the voice and emotions and in connecting with people as social relationships. So I'm very interested in what you have to share. Thank you very much.
Good.
Yeah. I used to sing and I used to sing a lot. I sort of grew up in the church choir and I don't sing very well anymore. My voice gets all crackly and I'm just thinking if there's ways to play with that, explore that. I'd love to be able to sing again.
Okay.
That's just a thought.
It's a good thought. I mean, life without singing is very deprived.
Well, I sing, but I don't really want to listen to myself anymore.
We have another hand up, Laura McMurray, and then Susan after.
Hi, this is Laura McMurray, and I'm sorry I don't have a camera to use right now. The obvious answer to this technically is to use headphones. So I understand that. However, without headphones, because there's so many situations with the electronic devices where I don't have headphones, there's an anxiety about not being able to hear how my voice is being heard. And when I'm in a room and I'm teaching in a room, I hear my voice in the room and I get that immediate feedback in the acoustic space.
Mm-hmm.
But when I talk into a device, there's a special layer of hell in anxiety because I can't tell if I'm being quiet or loud or, you know, I can't tell. And I'm wondering if there's a technical way to overcome that or create an internalized clarity about how you're going to sound. Just something other than really nice headphones.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens through today's lesson, whether that helps to build some of that internal proprioception about your voice so you're not constantly, you know, dependent on the external sound. I mean, in my life as a singer, there were a couple of halls that I always hated to sing in that I knew were acoustically friendly for the audience, but absolutely not friendly to anybody else. To me is that, sorry, I'm just trying to turn off my phone. And, you know, I would go in and because it always felt like my sound was absolutely dropping dead out of my mouth and then dropping down to the floor. It was torturous, but I mean, the audience kept saying, oh no, you sounded fine, because I wasn't getting that feedback. And so what I had to, and then if you go into another room that's very acoustically live, it's a whole different process. So, you know, that's a real thing. Using the headphones is what you figured out gives you that feedback. But then it's a matter of really finding that the feedback internally and not relying so much on the external. So the sound coming this way rather than sound coming from within. So yeah, I'll see what I can do to answer that. Suzanne?
Awesome.
Yes, I actually, I'm a trainee and I just taught equalizing the nostrils yesterday. And I taught some other face lessons last week as the start of a new series. It's just kind of grown into this and it's like it wasn't really planned, but discovering things that clients have one of my clients had had jaw issues, jaw surgery early on in her life, and she's now in her 70s and finding difficulty speaking, kind of like Paul was saying, then everything kind of dropping off, finding the equalizing the nostrils really, she had actually requested after a previous lesson to work on, you know, shouting. And so we did some of that work, but that still seemed like she was just still kind of very weak in that area. Mm-hmm. She lives very far away and I haven't, you know, had a lot of time with her per se on that. Another client, potential client who I haven't met with, although she's in her 90s, had COVID and maybe addressing her. Okay, so she's a nun and she complains that she cannot sing she sings like a man now with a frog voice. And so I'm thinking there could be a lot of breath stuff associated with that, but maybe also speaking to COVID, which is driving a lot of this as well. So how COVID might be affecting people's voices. Thank you. Okay,
good. I will talk about that. Anybody else?
I just see a comment in the chat that some people are interested in improving their sense of confidence with their voice and the, mm-hmm. changing the pitch.
Okay, good. Okay, so since the COVID is there, COVID is a funny beast because it's viral, but it's not the kind of flu viral that we're used to. And so they're trying to figure out what pieces what's going on physiologically. But what we do know is that it goes in and it goes in through the nasal passages. And so that's why the first symptoms are colds and things like that. But in terms of the long-term effect, there does seem to be some sort of neurological stuff going on. The losing the sense of taste and smell early on especially with the Delta that, you know, was a real problem. And sometimes it comes back and sometimes it doesn't. So it throws the whole system off. I don't know when suddenly the voice deepens drastically and you go from being a soprano to being down a bass, that usually speaks to some nerve damage, neurological damage through the superior laryngeal nerve. So, but COVID is doing all kinds of wonky things. And so it may, you know, that may be one of the issues and these subtle changes that happen. Again, there's the longer we live with this, the more people get the weird stuff and the more they're trying to figure it out. But, you know, there are some of these things will regenerate and will come back to normal or near normal. And some of them are just kind of, that's the way it's going to be. It's the new whoever. But it's important when you experience these changes to do whatever you can to keep the system in balance. And that's what we're going to kind of work on today. So, you know, again, so it's let's just get to it rather than having me rant on about something. So find a place that's comfortable for you. You can stay in your chair. You can find a place to lie on the floor. You know, whatever it is that you want, and just take a minute to sort of settle yourselves in. And as you do that, just begin to sense yourself in space, yourself in gravity. And find your breath. How are you breathing? Are you breathing? And if you've chosen to sit or chosen to lie, to think about what it is about that position that makes you gravitate to that. And very easily begin to make a sound at a comfortable pitch, comfortable loudness. Now, the problem is you're all muted, so I can't hear any of you, which is too bad, but there we are. And feel, does that pitch feel easy to do? Does it just kind of come in? And how do you know that you're making that pitch? How do you sense it? You hear it? Do you sense any vibration in the face, in the cheeks, in the chest, resonating against the floor? And as we continue, make sure that you're, as you're making these sounds, that you make them for a comfortable length of time, and then stop and breathe. And now change the pitch that you're making. Make it higher or lower. And add a vowel quality to it if you're not already singing on a vowel or phonating on a vowel. And notice whether your lips are closed or open. And play between opening and closing, maintaining the same pitch. And then changing the pitch. Where do you sense it? It being the sound waves. And stop and rest. And check in with your breathing. Just doing these, only doing these few sounds. Has anything altered in your perception of your breath, the perception of yourself? And imagine yourself getting louder. And now do the same thing that you were doing with the mouth open or closed, the same vowel-like sound. And make it louder. And what do you adjust? How do you adjust to the loudness? What happens in your trunk, in your belly? What happens to your head? Is the quality of the sound the same, except at a higher decibel? Or is there something about the sound that has changed? Now repeat that a few times, getting louder, but pick a different pitch, maybe a different vowel. And then let it go. Rest a moment. So one of the things that we do when we're going, when we're getting loud, is we alter the position of the orientation of our head. So for those of you who are sitting, just take a moment to reflect what you did with your head, if anything, or whether there was an increased strain in the muscles of the back of the neck. And for those of you on the floor, did you feel any sense of strain either in your neck or your shoulders, maybe in the chest as you got louder? Perhaps the diaphragm was working a little harder for everybody. But what happened? So if you're lying down on the floor, I'd like you to sit up for just a moment. You can go back to the floor and sit comfortably. And if you can, sit up against, somewhere where you're comfortable. And now just shout or say, good morning, how are you? And notice what you do with your head. Do this a few times. Does the head move? Let that go and now do the same thing, the same text, but do it softly. And does something else happen in your trunk, in your head, in your neck, your shoulders? Let that go. And now find a comfortable pitch that's sort of on the medium low side, but not way down in the basement, but just kind of somewhere in that middle range, whatever it is for you. And I'd like you to hold it at an easy pitch. And as you're sustaining it, I want you to bring your head forward and back to the middle. And notice, is there any change in vocal quality without you doing anything but moving your head? And find that place where, if you perceive a change, and kind of go back and forth in that a little bit and then come back to the middle, to the neutral. And make it as smooth a movement as you can. Let that go. And do it a few times at a higher pitch. Or higher if you can. Again, bringing the head forward and back to neutral. And notice, is there a place where it becomes kind of unstable, or are you good in all directions, both front and back? And how do you know that the quality is changing? Is it that you can hear it? That you feel it? What are you feeling? It's probably a little bit of both. I see many of you have your mouth open. So now do the same thing at either the lower pitch or the higher pitch and close your mouth. Bringing your head forward and then back to the middle. Does that change what you were experiencing before? And is your head going forward and back, or is it also going a little bit up, tilting up, chin up to the sky and down? So sort of notice the trajectory. And let it all go. Rest a minute. Take a minute to check in. What comes into your attention? What's your relationship to the floor, to the chair? What parts of you are you noticing? and find an approximation of that first middle range pitch and vowel. And this time, as you sustain that for a few seconds, take your head backwards as though you're pressing it against the wall behind you while you're sustaining it. And notice, is this a familiar movement? Is this something that you do in your life when you're talking, when you're being stern, when you're playing around? Or is this something that's very strange to you? I mean, there are people who, you know, when they want to be forthright, what we do is we lengthen the back of the neck, we pull the chin down a little bit, lengthen it, tuck the chin down. And yes, okay, I'm going to be very stern now. And there are other people, you know, when they're going to shout, they bring their head forward. So it's a question of, what is your pattern? What are you discovering as you do these? So come back to the middle, change the pitch, and try it at a little higher pitch. Again, is the mouth open or is it closed? Again, what are you feeling? Are you feeling it in the throat, in the back of the mouth? Any sensation in the sinuses, in the chest? How do you know that you're making this sound? And if your mouth is open, close it for a few times. And see if that, how that changes anything about the quality, ease, direction. And let that go. Take a rest. Wiggle around. If you were on the floor, you want to continue on the floor. Do whatever you need to do just to kind of let go and let some of this sink in. So one of the things that Moshe, one of the reasons that I'm bringing this in, this is not specifically in that lesson, but what we do when we're trying to be loud is we want to bring our mouth closer to the people's ear. And in this case, on Zoom, we're bringing it closer to the screen so that there's an awful lot of this stuff going on, right? You're not just being loud, but you're kind of trying to get in there rather than bringing the whole trunk in. So whether we're aware of it or not, it becomes one of the potential habits, things that we do when we're trying to yell into the, you know, the universe, right? So, and I think that as we're playing with what's happening in terms of sound and sound waves, so one of the ways of getting, of being more comprehensible is we don't have to get louder in terms of dynamic loudness, but we want to get louder because we have more acoustic power. And the acoustic power comes from the air moving around, becoming air from the lungs, hitting the vocal cords, becoming sound waves, and the sound waves then do all kinds of amazing magic things in our mouth, creating overtones and resonances that then will allow, you know, a professional singer to be singing pianissimo over an orchestra of 150 players, right? So she's singing really softly and the orchestra is just by the virtue of that many instruments blaring at the same time. That's a huge thing to overcome. So we overcome it in part by matching the pitches in a way that lets those pitches sing, but we also do it by enhancing. So what this lesson does in a really beautiful way is it plays with the resonances. So when the mouth is closed, then what happens is that the air has to go through, has to come out, it goes through the nose. So the mm and mm, right? Those are what we call nasal sounds. The end of the mouth is slightly open, but the tongue is up, including closing the front of the mouth, so the air doesn't really escape. And he plays with that aspect of it. So when you close your mouth, you change the direction of the airflow just now. And maybe for many of you, you've had a very different kind of vocal experience, right? And if you have, you know, any of this is mud to you, then please put it in the chat or just save it for the Q&A afterwards. So let's come back. And first of all, just say something. Pick a phrase that you use all the time, whether you use it as part of your teaching, whether you use it as part of your daily routine, whether it's a favorite, you know, line from a literary work, a poem or something, and just tuck it in your brain, because we're going to be using that for a little while. And what I'd like you to do, is just to start out with saying an ah, again, working with a comfortable pitch, and just try the ah before you did some other sound. You can go back to that if you want, and do it a few times and notice whether anything has changed in your sensation of ease or perception of the quality of the sound. Now close, say the ah, but with your mouth closed. So instead of going ah, your brain is still doing the ah. And then go back to opening the mouth without making any other changes except maybe taking a breath. Good. Now continue the ah with the mouth open. And pinch your nose in the middle of that sound. And do this a few times. Now, do you feel anything in the quality of the sound changing? Does it start to get a little more nasalized? And can you pinch your nose without that shift happening? For some people, it'll be very easy. For other people, it'll be a lot harder. So go between the open ah, so that you really don't hear much of a shift. And now try a higher pitch. Now, for me, it's going a little nasal. Haven't done this in a while. So you might want to pitch and then make the sound. And do it long enough that you can really sort of establish that. So what happens when we go from the oral sound, the pure and then we add the nose, is that the soft palate begins to valve. And if I go to that means it's closing off and really the sound isn't going through my mouth, but I'm engaging a whole nother level of resonances. And gives me potentially more power without doing more work, which is what we're all in for right now. So now just do the close your mouth, still say the ah, and try to pinch your nose and see what happens. And probably the sound stops dead in its tracks, unless you can get a little leak going in here, because now you've closed everything. Right? And the vocal cords need that air going above and below in order to vibrate. So sometimes when people get stuck and they sort of, everything gets kind of cut out, then that's one of the things that happens. It's just, especially, it's really hard to talk when you've got a bad cold and your sinuses are all full of glue, right? You can't really talk very well, right? And you certainly can't breathe very easily. So again, that's one of the things, one of the elements in this lesson that, you know, that is happening. And yes, I see a few people getting the tissue out, because that's absolutely what happens as you begin to do this lesson. Now, Moshe starts the lesson by blocking one nostril. And having you make a deep sound low and high. And then you do the other side. And that does in fact begin, if you do it without pushing, the minute you push, all of that tissues is going to say no. It's like a little kid. They, you know, they're going to squeeze and it's just going to get more inflamed. But if you do that and you do it very gently and easily, then it will actually begin to get the goo going and open things up and make things balance out a little bit better. Right. But never, never, when you do that part of the lesson, as is written in the AY, I think it's number 5, right? Don't push on it because that's actually going to give you a negative reaction. I'm playing with this in a different way. So that's part of the lesson that I'm not doing for those of you who, you know, who know it well. But let's move on to, first of all, just say whatever your sentence is, whatever your line is, and just do it sort of at a comfortable level. And then I want you to do it louder. And go back and forth a few times and sense which one is easier. And what do you do when you either get louder or softer? And now pretend you're in a Zoom call with somebody, you know, who's halfway around the world, and they're a little hard of hearing, and say the same sentence. And what has changed? What are you doing with your body? Is your head going forward? Is your body tilting forward? Are you holding your breath? It's a whole bunch of things that begin to happen. So kind of tick on that and we'll come back to it. Now just stop a minute. And bring your teeth together, not clenching, but just gently together. However, they don't have to be lined up pretty, just, you know, normally. And speak that sentence in a comfortable way, right? So your teeth are going and the tongue is loose and the lips are absolutely able to move. Now, what really happens is that you kind of try to do this and you can't really, you know, you lock your mouth. Let the lips move. So teeth together, so you're liberating the lips. And if you're not sure, then let your jaw relax and just focus on your lips as you speak that sentence. So one of the things we do when we're trying to enunciate is we move our mouth a whole lot. And that doesn't always make it more comprehensible. So then gently bring the teeth kind of proximal, closer together and see if you can actually move your lips with the teeth out of the, with the jaw out of the equation. And try the same thing. Once you kind of get a little bit comfortable with that, try getting just a little bit louder and see what you have to do, but keep your lips and your tongue really working very well. Good. Now let it go. And now in a very normal voice, a very normal loudness, say the same sentence. And how does it feel? Do you notice any change? What's happening to your breathing? Good. And just be quiet for a moment. Take a rest. And sense, notice in the way that we do the head, the nose, the face, the chest, the feet. How are you sitting in your chair? what's comfortable, what's not comfortable. So now bring your lips together. So you're closing your mouth. So what's your jaw is still free because your teeth are apart. And just do a count 1, 2, 3. So the tongue is moving, so you can actually articulate. And the jaw is moving. And then once you've done that a few times, say your sentence, but really pay attention. People tend to, with this part of the lesson, they go, so the tongue is passive and they're just grunting. So really make sure that your tongue is where your tongue and jaw are what are moving. So, now again, we're in that lips closed. So the resonance is gonna have shifted a little bit. And how does that compute with what you're doing and your experience? Can you put your finger under your nose and feel a little teeny bit of air maybe moving through? Depends on what you're saying, how much air is gonna go through. And do it a little louder. Can you keep the same ease and quality? You can take your hand away unless it's helping you. But can you get louder with the lips closed and the teeth and the jaw moving without feeling stuck in the throat, without feeling catchy, without any extraneous or too much extraneous movement? And then open your mouth and say it again and see what happens. Is there a change? Easier, freer, clearer? Vary the pitch as you do this. Don't stay stuck in one pitch zone. Go, you know, good morning, how are you today? Something along that line. We are doing an ATM. Do you have the variety so that by the end of the sentence, you still have a lot of tone? Without being monotone, can you really focus on what happens at the end? Maybe elongate that just a little bit. Now, women will tend to be more expressive by pitch changes. Men tend to use loudness. So make sure that there's a little punch towards the end of the sentence rather than just letting it drop. Or you could do California speak and have everything up as a question, which is totally annoying, right? But all of this adds a sort of variety of what you're doing and helps to combat some habits. Now do the same thing loud and halfway through, close your mouth. Good. And let it go. Okay, so we've constrained the teeth. So we've constrained the jaw. We've constrained the lips. And now let's put the teeth and the lips together and just let the tongue move. So your jaw is constrained because the teeth are together, and lips are together. So the tongue is free to do whatever it wants and feel it move as you say whatever it is you're saying. And play with the pitch on this. Really feel it move. And play with loudness. Try a little bit of it louder. Where do you feel it? You feel some shift in resonance in your face as you do that. or as you go higher or lower. Do it a few times. And then open your mouth in the middle of it and just see what comes out. And let that go. Rest a minute. And just feel, where are you? Where are you in space? Where are you in your body? Say the phrase just normally as you would on any given day. And has anything changed in the way you feel your sound, awareness of the sound in your face? Are you listening to yourself? Are you feeling yourself? Are you doing both? Now, it would be lovely if we all had little sound level meters and spectrometers so that we could actually see whether there is a change in, you know, in the vibrations, in the harmonic patterns. And now one last variation, stick out your tongue just a little bit, bite down on it, close your lips and say your sentence. So the only thing that can move now is the back of the tongue. But again, really speak it, really say it, not just because for many people, there's a lot of tension in the, you know, in the neck, and then they're in the base of the tongue. So try going higher. And then breathe. Don't bite on your tongue so hard that it hurts. Give it a break. Come back and do it again and do it lower. And now louder. And as you get louder, what happens to your diaphragm? What happens to your sense of breath? Does that change as well? Let it go. Open your mouth and say it one more time. And sing it just for kicks. Great. And let it all go. Take a few minutes just to absorb what we've done. We've done a whole lot of work. Maybe take a stand up and walk around a little bit. Whatever you need to do to take care of yourself. And then I'd like to hear some of these beautiful voices.
Wow, that was wonderful.
Thank you. Listen to her voice. I can feel
my whole body vibrating. Woo! Carol, you've got your hand up. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Marina. That was so much fun and wonderful.
Thank you.
I'm just listening to myself speak, and it's pretty easy and sounding better. I especially loved making vowel sounds with my mouth closed that never would have occurred to me. And so I as I usually do, I play with lessons. And so with each of the constraints that you gave, I ran through the whole alphabet in my imagination, and I could feel all the different ways my tongue and soft palate and hard palate had to organize themselves around the different letters. And that was enormously fun. And the different letters had vibrations in different places. Mm-hmm. Even mm-hmm. though my mouth was closed the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use that as a warm up anytime I'm teaching, because it, and the other thing I'm really grateful for is, you know, I've got, you know, mucho lung problems. And there's aliveness in my lungs that I haven't felt in a while, which is wonderful.
Great. So it takes the onus away from thinking about the breath. You know, we spend a lot of time, especially in the singing world, talking about good breathing. And there's so much, you know, for every teacher has their own variation and their own description about how we breathe and what's right and what's wrong. But this just, the beauty of this is the body figures it out. And the, you know, the every sound, every vowel, every pitch on every vowel, but the vowels are defined harmonically by different frequencies. So the fact that you feel the vibrations in different parts of your body are where the sympathetic vibrations are. And for, in fact, every sound has a different combination. So I can use a spectrogram, and if I get really good at reading it, which I used to be way back in the day, that I could actually look at all these squiggles of harmonics and pretty much figure out what people were saying, right? So what you're experiencing is reflected in the physics of sound. Good, yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I figured, well, you know, to speak, I have to make the sounds of all the different letters mm-hmm. in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
So that was what I wanted to play with, was mm-hmm. was those particular things.
Right. And being English, they, you know, in depending on who's next to what, they all have different sounds and different
exactly. qualities. Yeah.
Good. Any other thoughts, Thank comments? You. Thank you.
Just a little piece of foolishness. I was playing with a poem I memorized in the sixth grade. And at one point, when you had a rest, I sat back in my chair and I literally felt like I was maybe 11 or 12 years old. I was very short and very little, but the sound that I could get, you know, in doing it was just extraordinary. But I don't know, I may regress here, but.
That's okay. But, we didn't hear Carol before, we heard Anna before. Is there a change that you hear in her voice just having gone through this? Does anybody hear something
yes.
different?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So, yeah. And as you played with loudness, did you find that you were able to get louder with greater ease as we moved on through this lesson? I see some nods. Good. Any other comments? Anybody else want to show off their good voice?
Hi. I really, I think this was really helpful for me. I feel like the air is really coming up and out.
Good.
Yeah. I think I was doing something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to do when you've got all these constraints going on. You know, the body just says, no, I gotta let go. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Annie? Anna, sorry.
Anna. Yes, that was really fun. Thank you so much. It was just really fun. I love the way how you gave it to us. It was very easy. And I have also felt when I talk louder, when I want to shout, that I feel I get the scratch. I get a scratchy and a little mm-hmm. that's uncomfortable. I almost start coughing. And so the first time that you asked us to be loud, I felt that. And then as we went on through it, it came back a little bit, but I felt, it felt like I was going further down in here and not right in here. And so as we got louder, as I got louder, it dropped down, like the vibration or the feeling of where the movement, the sound was coming from, was coming further down. And I felt like I was using more of my center, and also not, my tendency was I was tipping my head up to go louder, and I was getting longer. So yeah, that's really great. It feels much nicer now. Thank you.
Right. So when you find yourself getting that place, and then you've got some techniques now, you've got a sensory place where you shift, you know, it's not, oh my God, I have to breathe, but you can kind of find that. Mm-hmm. And some of these constraints, you know, even as you're just talking, what I'm doing is I'm gently biting down on the sides of my tongue, right? Just to kind of, I'm not getting the whole thing, but just even for a moment, or just, you know, okay, yeah, I can do that. You know, to find that just to shift it around a little bit, just to kind of remind your body about what to do. Great.
Right. Good. Thank you.
Yeah. Laura's the next hand up, unless there's somebody else.
This is Laura in the dark box.
Yes.
The head forward and back and tilting was gold for me. It just really, there were really clear shifts in how the sound resonated and how I could perceive the sound. Both. It was amazing. So thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Great. So one of the things that you can do with this lesson is you can do it in pieces. You don't have to start at the beginning and do the whole thing. You know, you find yourself being standing in the grocery store and you're bored to tears and just, you know, puffing your cheeks, you know, just at any point. And all it does is it kind of re-triggers that innate organization and optimization that we need. So, you know, you don't have to go, you can just do it 30 seconds worth and it really makes a huge difference. Paul.
It's also a good way to get an empty seat beside you on the bus.
Absolutely.
Yes, but the effect are several, but most present for me is more volume in my thorax all the way around back and between my shoulder blades and chest and so on. And what was surprising to me and I found very interesting was the variations and constraints of different parts of the tongue. That was fun to have the tip constrained by teeth and have just the back part undulating or trying to figure out how to. And then the last one you said, well, you were just talking of biting down on the sides of the tongue. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Very welcome. Fun. More to play with.
Great. Now, do you hear, Paul, how your voice has gotten stronger and you're also keeping the air going through the entire phrase?
I didn't notice. I was trying to pay attention to be coherent.
Okay. Well, you're definitely coherent, but again, it just getting
now
that sense,
it.
You know, it's not that.
So I take my attention to that rather than trying to make sense. I hear it. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
I just wanted to make a comment. There's a interesting comment in the chat. Katarina put in, she said that in speaking for someone who does not hear so easily, the change is to separate the syllables, pause to give time for each part, and accentuate with modest gestures. Do you have any comments about that?
Read that again.
In speaking for someone who does not hear so easily, the change is to separate the syllables, pause to give time for each part, and accentuate with modest gestures.
Okay, so it's Katarina, you're talking about the way you perceive yourself, right? And you hear yourself. I mean,
she might be making comments on how to be with people who don't hear so well.
Is it you for your own perception or people that are hard of hearing?
Both.
Both. Okay. So with people who are hearing impaired, it's very important to go slowly and deliberately, but not too much like this, which is what people do. They still need that sense of flow, but they can give a little bit more space to the important parts of the sound, right? So, and yes, and you can practice in your own thing is, again, elongating and just slowing the pace and making sure that when you breathe, that you breathe within the semantics of the flow of the language.
And if I know a little bit of their language, I could put in a little bit. Because it's usually people who for whom English is not mother tongue.
Right. But what we do is we tend to over enunciate, which actually shortens everything. So find that easy length. The other thing, especially with mask wearing, is, you know, to think about using the face and using the eyes, right? I mean, we live in an apartment building now, and I go in and I always want to say good morning to the doorman and smile. Well, but if my eyes aren't smiling, he doesn't know I'm smiling. So I do it partly with my voice, but I really have been working hard on getting this part of my body to be much more active, right? So particularly if you're teaching a class. Now, if I'm teaching an academic class, they're all staring at me. When we're have most of our people, you know, the people we're teaching are on the floor and they're all in their own space, we have to use our voice much more, but we become more animated the more that we use our facial expression. So if you really begin to add this piece in addition to the sinuses, that will help a lot. But thank you. That's a very good point. Yeah. Paul?
I am not, there we go. I want to go back to a question somebody else raised because it really interested me if this is the time to do that.
Sure.
Somebody was saying, I don't remember who it was, that lack of knowing how they sound, was it Laura? Lack of knowing how they sounded made them change their voice in some way. I think it was to get louder. And this is why you hear people shout in coffee shops on their cell phone, because that's not a duplex. You're not hearing yourself through the receiver like you did in the old fashioned phone where you heard yourself as well as you heard the other person. So I kind of understand why, but I don't know what to do about it.
Well, I think that one of the things is to really use that sensory. I mean, that was the lesson that I had to learn, you know, working in different and singing in different halls, because if they were dead, I was toast, right? Because I was kept pushing in. If it was alive, then I was very, but I suddenly realized that I had to be my own acoustical box. And so shifting the attention to the sensation of the vibrations rather than relying on what's coming at me. Suzanne.
Yeah, this is maybe a little bit off topic, but for Parkinson's, my dad had Parkinson's. He went through that loud training, and so that's kind of like all of a trying to get him to shout, if I may, and that may be my summary experience of the segments that I saw of that. Is this something, I mean, and that's kind of a whole complexity, right? But is this just like another strategy that might be effective with Parkinson's or just not? Because it's Parkinson's is loaded, right?
Parkinson's is loaded. The issue, the reason that you use the loud is because their own proprioception, they think they're being speaking at a normal level. And they're thinking they're speaking at a normal rate, and they've got the rush of speech. So the thing of exaggerating the loudness just helps them to break that barrier and to get back into some sense of, because they think they're screaming and you can barely hear them. So that's a neurological, perceptional thing. It's worth a try. I mean, in my speech pathology days, I did an awful lot of the loud therapy, but I also incorporated a lot of this stuff into it because I think it does help to trigger some of the mechanical aspects. So it's always worth a try. I mean, Parkinson's is such a weird, weird, weird thing. And the worst that happens is nothing changes. And then, you've had a good time.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. Brent?
Yes, hi, thank you. I was born with a profound high frequency hearing loss, so I've had my lifetime to get used to hearing only parts of sounds. And I do an awful lot of lip reading, which is very difficult to do in a pandemic when you can't see anything. And my conversations have changed entirely because unless someone lowers their mask, I am not going to function. I started using this free app called Live Transcribe to be able to understand through masks, and I'm able to use it during ATMs as well, so I could practice along with what you were doing today. And I must say, the quality of my own voice changed markedly in the hour that we spent together, with such an ease of being able to create sound from more of my torso that I have been straining my voice to create. So I just wanted to applaud the quality of the lesson that had a visceral effect on both my ability to create speech clearly, which is so important to someone who doesn't hear well. The volume is counterproductive when it's not clear, and it can stand out socially when someone raises their voice and everyone's like, whoa, he obviously doesn't hear well. And it makes it harder to hear with that anxiety increase. But back to the point that the position of my head and manipulating the tongue and the jaw gave me so many more options I didn't even think of about how to influence the quality of my own voice. So I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Thank you. And you sound absolutely fabulous right now. It's a really beautiful resonant voice.
Good. Yeah, Brett, I'm really noticing your enunciation and clarity too.
Good. Any other thoughts, comments?
And Margaret had made a comment that she was quite surprised that she didn't realize how much she was tightening her throat and tilting her head and using her jaw so much. She's really enjoyed the exploration.
Great. Great, great. Thank you. Dawn?
Yeah, I want to thank you for this. This was an incredible lesson. I'm very excited to try it with reading, with students reading, just before and after, during. I think it's going to be such a fun, playful way to get into a whole bunch of aspects. You mentioned about biting on the side of the tongues or your teeth. I missed that. I don't know what you were talking about. So could you clarify that? Or I'm sorry if that was...
No. That was kind of a throwaway, right? Is it... If you wide... Some people have a very skinny, tight tongue. And so it's very difficult. But if you can kind of widen the tongue and put it between your teeth, so that makes... So that it can't shrink. But it also then activates the center of the center fold. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
But it's, you know, again, some people will have an easier time than others doing it, but it's just another area to play with.
Okay. Thank you.
What age kids do you work with?
3 to 16, 17, sometimes 20-year-olds. Yeah. Right. Depends. Yeah.
It's fun for all ages.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you. I'm so excited. I can hardly wait.
Donna?
There we go.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the play of the different constraints and a sort of a general waking up, you know, rather than going, oh, this is exactly about here or there and getting very accurate about my sensations. What I recognized was by playing with them, it's just like you said, everything started to change, mm-hmm. right? So the whole inner sense of inner space, inner volume, three-dimensionality started to come into play, while I was also noticing, oh, certain constraints were really pulling on patterns, mm-hmm. especially if I got loud. It was very interesting, this place in my upper thoracic on the left, it's like, oh, you know, like, this is very interesting. I have a hard time getting loud there. So that was very, very interesting. And the other thing I would say for me was this, So it was going all the way down into my sacrum and belly as well as up. And so the sense of aliveness from inside was so profound. I think the sounding, the vibration of sounding really brings another dimension to what we do. Mm-hmm. It's really potent.
Mm-hmm. It's very potent. I mean, you could do a whole lesson on this without text. But since, you know, we're living in a world of text that is mumbled because of we're shouting into a screen or we're masked or whatever. But he starts, I mean, this lesson with just sounding, right. You know, and you could do all of this. I mean, there's so many variations you can do with this. It's, I mean, that's what I love about it, is the playful aspect.
Exactly.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Somebody else had their...
I can share something, Marina.
Yeah.
I felt like the different variations with the teeth together, the lips together, biting on the tongue, made it really clear to me how I was or wasn't using my diaphragm. It was just it was very vivid in my perception, like, oh, there's my diaphragm. Yeah, don't forget to use it. So that was my fun revelation, but also the head going forward and backward, like Laura said a little while ago, and the head going up. It was just clear to feel how the air was coming through me.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah.
Great. Thanks so much. Great.
Really, yeah, you're welcome. Good. Anybody else? Keith?
Kevin, I was going to say thank you. I tend to speak through my nose, and I'm consciously trying not to now, but still am. And from a pronunciation and all those sort of exercise perspectives, it'll definitely be one I'll be doing more of again, just to get out of pronunciating sort of Tibet here. which is what I tend to feel I do is speak to an audience that's always about this far away. Mm-hmm. So that was quite a test to actually go and do. But you can see I can see an awful lot of value in doing lots more of it. Thank you.
Great. Well, there's so much room to play, and you know, play with, you know, to the pitch of your nose, because that will help you feel whether you're in there or not. And feeling that, you know, not having the vibrations there to kind of uncouple that hypernasality. So those are things to play with just randomly.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the things that gave it away entirely.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's a really good point. I was really surprised at that differentiation of the nose, pinching the nose and still making the sound the same. That was really cool. I don't know where it happened in the lesson, but I could feel my whole back vibrating for the first time. It cool. was the weirdest thing. I got chills down my back. My whole back started vibrating. So I'm going to practice that again and try some of those variations that you introduced. I don't know when that happened, but
next time it will happen someplace else, I can guarantee it. Or it won't happen because, you know, that magic has spent itself and there's new magic to be found.
Absolutely. And I also had a question, because Kevin reminded me of this question, that there's certain accents where the tongue is pulled back a lot when speaking. And so I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that in the tongue placement in different accents.
Well, again, the tongue placement results in different sound qualities. So, you know, if I want to do this kind of Indian a little bit, where the tongue gets actually put up and the tip is pointing backwards, right? Well, it sets up a whole different dynamic. So what you do with your tongue is part of how the acoustics of those sounds are shaped, right? I mean, some languages are very, very nasal, some are not. Some people use African languages uses all clicks and ch's and ch's. I mean, Hebrew and the I used to do the khonsa, right? Which is a click in the back. So, I mean, that there's so much going on in our mouths that we can wiggle and move and coordinate with sound that will change the quality of what we hear and result in that quote unquote accent. Right. So it's really just a matter of you know, getting away and realizing that you can move your palate, you can move your tongue, you can move the front of the tongue, the back of the tongue, and just kind of playing with it, you know, and just be goofy and snort and all that kind of stuff and come up with all kinds of crazy things. I mean, the people who do accents really well just have amazing flexibility within the muscles in this domain. And they have a good ear that they can hear it. So, yeah. So, you know, go out and play. Any other questions, concerns? So next time you're on Zoom or next time you're with a mask, really just think about, okay, play with this with a mask on. If you do a lot of work with masks on, do this variation, these variations with the mask so that you begin to sense what the feedback is you're getting from the mask itself versus when you take it off. Right? That's a variation we didn't do today, but you can do exactly the same thing. Even if just putting my hand here, it changes my feedback loop, right? So just put your hand in front of your face and just do, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? Whatever you're saying, but you get a very different sense of where your voice is and then take it away and feel the difference. So, you know, if you're, again, if you're doing a lot of work with masks on, wear the mask and get the sense of how that changes and then take it off and get the sensory feedback. Because we're with unconsciously, when we're wearing a mask, we talk differently, right? And as I said, from the perceptual, from the listener standpoint, you know, the high frequency sounds, the S's and T's and all of those get attenuated because the mask mutes them. So again, what's coming out, we don't know because we don't hear it, but the person you're talking to is obviously, and we depend so much on lip reading. You know, I noticed that, you know, watching TV every once in a while, the sound will be just a little bit out of sync with what they're saying. Drives me absolutely rats. You know, we don't realize how much we depend on that, but there it is. So great. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? All right. Go home and play.
Thank you so very much. This was such an enlightening workshop. I really, really appreciate your expertise. And I know everyone else here does too. Olivia is just making a comment that she's going to hum behind her mask. and yes, thank you so much. If there's anything else that anyone wants to say, or just even unmute themselves and say sayonara.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If anybody has a comment, my email is marina.gilman@gmail.com. So it's easy to remember.
Shall I type that in?
Yeah.
Thank you.
If you have any questions, concerns, just, you know, let me know.
Thank you, Marina. Thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Maria. Great.
Thank you very much.
Alrighty. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Maria. Thank
you, Marina. That was wonderful.
Yes, the recording will be on the FGNA Teachable website. I put the link up in the chat.
Yeah, I came late, so I can't get it. It's not.
I recently posted it, so it might be in the chat. If you click on those three dots,
I know how to do that. It's just not, when I joined, it's not available.
All right. Well, I'll put it back up now if you'd like. Let me just see if I can find it. Yep, there it is. And I'll just put it at the bottom of the chat so you can see it.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kathy. Thank you everyone for coming.
Thanks, Maria. Susan. I've got one little question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Does the chat also, is it included with the recording?
No, it's not. So you have to save the
chat.
How do you
record?
how do you save a chat on on a telephone?
You ask a friend to do it for you and email it to you.
I'll do it for you, Rosa.
Thanks, sweetie.
Okay.
Oh, you can tell the others of us how to do it too.
I'll send it to you, Kathy.
Thank you.
No problem. Thanks, everyone. Have a wonderful evening.
Good.
Take good care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marina. That was wonderful.
You're welcome. Thank you all.
Look forward to watching the replay. Sure.
Good.
Bye, Donna.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.
Great to see your faces.
Bye, Carol.